producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
To America Tonight, each and every show we go inside the Beltway and beyond to the Big Apple with our pal Luke Vargas, who joins us from New York. It's interesting. There's so much happening, and we have a lot to talk about, especially when we talk about Iraq, as many of you in the nooks and crannies want to do, and we have been doing for seemingly forever, but recently, the last month or so. So, Luke, first of all, as always, thanks for joining us. And here's the question. What's going on in Iraq? We have 130 military planners now on the ground. I think they should be there by this point. So what are we seeing in Iraq?
This is one of those nights where if you throw in the towel at 5 o'clock, you miss the big story of the day, which is that apparently, according to Pentagon officials who've spoken to Talk Radio News, and these reports are now all over the place, about 20 U.S. Special Forces went to that mountain in northern Iraq today, Mount Sinjar, where it's still believed that between 20 and 30,000 civilians are sheltering. And they spent from just before sunrise to just before sunset scoping out the area. The assumption here being that they are doing some preliminary scouting for how a large-scale, likely, rescue effort could be conducted in that area. There was a little indication based off of a report on The Guardian earlier this afternoon that that rescue mission was indeed underway and had been completed to a certain extent. Those reports were later walked back. And at this point, it just looks like this was a rescue assessment, but still a pretty meaningful step in that it does involve boots on the ground. Of course, there are believed to be between 800 and 1,000 Americans in Iraq at this point, though when they're going out and doing this kind of mission together, you know, quite great distances involved and time spent on the ground in a very visible area, I'll add. It is sort of the first boots-on-the-ground mission in a lot of people's eyes and marks a real escalation in American involvement.
Yeah, what's the word from the UN, from their point of view, especially as you talk about Sinjar and what's happening with the people up there who are obviously struggling and looking for help, desperate to get out of the situation?
The UN seems to have been pushed a little bit to the back seat on Iraq. Obviously, they're very involved, or at least emphasize their involvement on a humanitarian standpoint. But I do get the impression that unlike certain other countries, let's say just neighboring Syria, where there's been so little and whenever it comes, such inconsistent support from the West, that the UN sort of knows it should take the lead. And it establishes the most meaningful contacts with local authorities, with security officials to try to guarantee access. I'm getting the impression that the UN has not been doing that kind of work with Iraqi forces, with the Kurdish government, and thus they're sort of taking the back seat. The U.S. has sort of volunteered to be the humanitarian coordinator. You see more nations coming on, Great Britain, Australia, France today announcing they're going to be supporting the Kurds. I think that coalition is stepping up and inheriting most of the risks of operating in this region. And thus, I guess that's an explanation, though the UN hasn't explained it to me like that. I feel like they're taking a backseat for that reason.
Yeah, so we move from Iraq and the mission there and what ultimately is going to be rolled out by the end of the week, and who knows, as you're talking about, to what's happening in the Ukraine. And you and I have talked extensively about that. And, of course, you made the trip to the Ukraine. And what are you thinking as you watch what's going on with this Russian aid convoy? You sent me a note about it. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right on. And so what's going on with this operation?
Well, it depends on who you ask what's going on. I mean, what we do know is that this convoy of about 300 trucks that left on Tuesday from the Moscow area is very close to somewhere on the Ukrainian border. Again, details have been kind of hazy here. What is very interesting, and I guess one of the areas we can pin this story down, is how it regards to the International Red Cross. They are supposed to be the organization that oversees the delivery of this aid once it crosses into Ukraine. So, you know, presumably it's Russian foreign, you know, specialists would figure out where exactly they want to make the crossing. And it's really interesting whether or not they're actually talking to Ukraine about this. Ukraine seems kind of left in the dark. It is going to be then inspected by the Ukrainian border guards and then passed off to the Red Cross. The Red Cross said today that despite repeated attempts to get a detailed list of what was in the Russian convoy, the Russians haven't provided that. Earlier this week, they gave a document that sort of sketched out in broad terms what they would put on these trucks. And as we near the time where the Red Cross really needs to know whether or not it's go time or not, they still seem to be in the dark. So when it comes to trying to squash rumors that this is a Trojan horse, that this is some sort of military intervention or refueling type mission where added perhaps military hardware, but at least food and water would be provided to militants instead of to civilians, Russia is not dispelling or putting aside in many people's eyes those concerns by flooding people like the Red Cross, agencies like the Red Cross, with all the information they want. So it's breeding ground for conspiracy theories, to say the least.
Yeah. Let's jump to Ebola. And, of course, front and center the last couple of weeks, a lot of people on pins and needles about Ebola. And you mentioned that there's a surprise announcement by the Canadian government. What was that?
Yeah, so yesterday the World Health Organization gave the moral or ethical okay for experimental drugs to be used. And today the Canadian government said, look, you know, we don't have something like what the U.S. possesses in ZMapp, that drug which there are apparently about 10 doses of. Five of them have already been distributed, and that is given to people who are already quite infected. Canada said today, we've got a vaccine, and we've got around 1,000 doses of it. They announced this morning they're going to give between 800 and 1,000 of those doses to the World Health Organization, with the assumption that they're going to be going to West Africa, not just sitting in refrigerators in Western hospitals. They're going to go out to West Africa, and, you know, now we've got an interesting scenario. Do you give this, and it's worth reiterating, entirely untested vaccine to humans? It's only been experimented on with primates before. And if so, does it go to doctors first? Do you vaccinate the young ahead of infection? The consensus I'm hearing seems to be that you'd go for doctors. This is such a limited quantity, even though it's many, you know, times larger than we had quantities of ZMapp. It's still small enough that you really need to target this. And even if it would be a nice PR gesture just to vaccinate children or something who aren't infected, doctors are really the priority here.
All right, last one. We only have a couple of minutes. The UN, obviously, in a little bit of hot water over the Gaza inquiry. And tell us about this new report of mismanagement by the UN Development Program in Palestine.
Well, this is interesting. It's not the UNRWA, the Relief and Works Agency, that's under fire here. They're the agency that the UN operates in both Gaza and the West Bank and around the region that usually draws criticism for being partial, basically, in the conflict there. This is a report from Fox News alleging that the United Nations Development Program in Palestine was, at the very least, being exceedingly sloppy with its booktaking and management of staff. Fox News report identifies that a number of non-staff members were basically had projects given over them to manage. The fear, I guess, underlying this report, though Fox did not point to any evidence of this directly, is that this is the kind of sloppiness that could allow aid or materials such as concrete, building materials, to slip out of UN hands, to be mismanaged, and somehow end up in the construction of tunnels or other activity of Hamas that we don't approve of. Again, no direct connection was made, but it is an embarrassment at the very least that the bookkeeping is so sloppy and that management of personnel is, you know, much less intense and rigorous than it really ought to be at a UN mission.
Boy, no kidding. Luke Vargas, Talk Radio News. Great stuff as always. Thanks.
Sure thing. Take care.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Like in Ferguson, Missouri. That's where so much of that, night kind of violence is taking place. And all of this is because of the death over the weekend of Michael Brown, who was shot and was unarmed. The officer who shot that teenager, not named at this point. I've been talking about this a lot with a lot of different people. Police, again, firing, tear gas at a crowd of protesters on Wednesday for yet another night, gathering because of the death of Michael Brown. So we've seen this now 4 days in a row. There were people that were arrested, and the conversation has really turned toward, is it fair to not know who shot and killed him? How long can you keep that name at bay? And I think that's going to be revealed anyway. If it's not revealed by the police themselves pretty soon, it'll come out, obviously, through freedom of information. That's already been pushed. And because of the fact that it's a process of elimination in a very small town. So the witnesses are saying that, look, this is a kid who went through high school, who was ready to go to college, was supposed to start college this week, and was killed 2 days before that. A new witness now also has come forward and said that what they saw, there's someone named Tiffany Mitchell who's being quoted in a lot of different places. She's saying, what I saw was when Michael and the cop were wrestling through the window, a shot was fired While Brown was out of the window, he got free. The officer got out of the car, followed him, and shot him. He raised his hands, and the cop kept firing. Troubling details that have come from a couple of different witnesses. So what we're seeing is the riots, the reaction to that, and police saying, look, they're not, these protests aren't peaceful. So if they're not peaceful, we have no choice. We don't want to do it. We're trying to calm people down, but we have to do something about it. It's not chanting, and it's not that kind of a protest. You have people that are throwing things in all different directions, and when they do that, we have to shoot the tear gas. Now, police are saying he died, and this is the other side of the story that's starting to come out. Police have a different version of the struggle with the cop. Police are saying that he died because he was struggling to grab the police officer's weapon, but witnesses are saying that it seemed like an act of aggression by the officer on Saturday, and that he wasn't armed, that Michael Brown wasn't armed and not threatening, but the cop kept shooting. Needless to say, this has blown up, and it's off the scales what is happening there. To tell you again, remember, Ferguson is very close to St. Louis, the suburb of Ferguson, and it's now in the national spotlight because of this killing. It's been 5 days since Brown died, and we still do not know the name of the person who pulled the trigger. A lot of people in Ferguson are saying, listen, this is wrong. It's a cover-up. And the community doesn't have a lot of confidence in all of this. So when are the police going to start giving them the answers and what this is what they're saying and not sweep it under the rug? Now, what's also interesting is that an attorney that has shown up in Ferguson is Benjamin Crump. Do you recognize that name? Crump was one of the attorneys who represented the family of Trayvon Martin. He was the teenager, as you all know, who was killed a couple of years ago when he had an altercation with George Zimmerman in Florida, in that neighborhood in Florida. So the mayor is really trying to keep a lid on all this. James Knowles every day is popping up in front of the mics, is trying to tell people not to protest or that they can certainly have vigils and all that kind of stuff, but not get out of control and throw things at the cops. They've had 20 cruisers that have been damaged. And police have gotten death threats, they say, and they want to stop the further violence. And the other thing is, like I said, information is going to get out there. Information is going to be released, and it is out there, right? So the officer who shot and killed him, they're getting death threats because it's that process of elimination that I talked about. And people are going after the personal information of him, and they're trying to catch up to his family and all that kind of stuff. So the trouble really happens at night. It really exploded on Sunday. Police have made 47 arrests since Brown was shot and killed. And the Ferguson School District announced that they were pushing back the start of classes this year. School was supposed to resume on Thursday. They're pushing it back. They're worried. The FBI is looking into it. Federal civil rights investigators are looking into it. This is a town. Think of your own town. This is a town of 21,000 people. And there is a terrible history already. There's background in this. There's a history of massive distrust between mostly a black community and a pretty much white police force. So there's all kinds of things working here. How many days go by before it becomes official? And more witnesses coming out, more people being interviewed. I said this in a previous show, but 3 of the 53 police officers are African American. And one of the witnesses is, of course, a police officer, whose version is he saw the shooting, and, you know, this is an ex-police officer, and the officer who fired is white, and brown, getting ready to start college, and facts that are adding up really have people upended in Ferguson. So I've said this before, you know, you're the mayor of that town. You're the police chief. What do you do? And how many days do you go? You know, some cops are awesome. I have family members who are cops. I have friends who are cops. And they've told me about bad cops. And there are bad cops. And there are problems that happen. The more of the details really need to come out. Here's what I hope for this situation. Just the real details. How about what happened and not the view through either lens? Just what happened? What do we know? What do we have? Now, this is a case where they're talking about video cams and video cameras that when there's altercations, there's anything going on, they've got it on tape. And I don't believe this was on tape. But then you think, okay, were there any cameras in that area? Were there cameras in the city where that happened that they can find out and they can go back and review the tape? And that I don't know. I tried to find that out today and I never got a straight answer about that. So it does make me wonder. And the thing with the window and kicking out the window, and was he grabbing for the gun? Was there a struggle? What's that about? And what was the scrape about? Was there more to the story than we know? And I think there is. There's more to the story than we know. And it's too bad. It's too bad for the people in that city, too, who, one, are mourning the loss of the kid, and that's the terrible tragedy in this no matter what, right? And then the other problem is, when you're a cop in this area, do you already have your hackles up because of things that you've dealt with? And do the people in that town already have their own defense mechanisms, working? And how much does race play a part in this story? How much is this going to play out? And certainly this isn't the first time that we've heard of stories like this, and it won't be the last time that we've heard it. And what I really would like to see, as I said, is the real details of what happened come out so that when some decisions are made, they can be made from a position of actual facts, not things that are trumped up in either direction. All right, you might have an opinion. You can fling it in. You know, your 2 cents. 855-266-5283. Meet you on the flip side.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
Whoa! This is big!
By popular demand, the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale has been extended. Now through August, save 30 to 45% on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House Freeze Dry Foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Now is the time to stock up on all factory fresh stock of the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45%. But hurry, supplies are limited, so this sale is only through the end of August. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguide.com. Hurry! The giant factory authorized Mountain House sale with savings of 30 to 45% is extended through August from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Just walk away, pretending everything's okay, and you don't care about me.
Ah, Crazy Wild and the Daily Salute. Some of what's coming up in this segment here on America Tonight. Again, to me, this story of Ferguson, if I've been asked this many, many times, and of course in our mailbag, a lot of people throwing in their 2 cents, thinking it's great to try to protect the police officer as long as you can. Others saying, well, that's ridiculous because why shouldn't it be public record? And it is, so the sooner that gets released, the better. But this town is on the verge. It already is exploding because you think 5 days of protests, throwing things, smashing cars, fires and shooting tear gas into the crowd, which is so depressing, frankly. Because if I'm upset, absolutely. Hold placards, demand answers, talk to the police chief, talk to the mayor, hold vigils. But the few idiots that do the things that are cockamamie, off the rails, off the tracks, that lead to perhaps more violence or some other unforeseen thing happening, that's when it's just downright stupid. Because you're not honoring Michael Brown. You're not helping his family, who are in massive grief, right? And it doesn't get the story out there. It doesn't feed that out any faster with the actual facts. It just delays all of that and creates more chaos. It really does. And we've seen this before. And this story is a little bit different than the Trayvon Martin story, as you know, because there you had Zimmerman, who was the self-appointed in the neighborhood watch guy, and what unfolded ultimately there versus now what's happened here with this police officer and, you know, what are the exact facts? Was there a struggle for a gun? Did that really happen, or did he put up his arms, and was there some assumptions there, and who knows in the heat of the night? But trust me, this thing is just percolating, and it's going to get that much bigger. But as the police chief, do you have a duty to keep the details to yourself as much as possible, especially if there's a lot of distrust, or should know, here's the facts. Officer so-and-so has temporarily been suspended while we have an internal investigation into what happened, blah, 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 blah. I mean, that has to happen soon. Come on. And I agree with that. I agree that it should happen soon rather than 5 days after, because, of course, then the suspicion and everything else certainly gets raised. All right, I want to mix in some happy. Can we do that? Let's mix in some happy. I think this is the, to me, what I call the daily salute. And the daily salute, ooh, I love it. Applause, it's so good. I like abruptly. We just, it's like an NFL crowd. Whoop, we thought he had a touchdown. No, we didn't. So here's the thing about Michael J. Fox. Yeah, you know, cutie pie, Canadian, comes to America, fame, fortune, and then he gets struck by Parkinson's, as we know. But what's great about Fox is that he keeps waging war on it. For I think not just for himself, truly I think for future people and in dealing with the disease and trying to find ways in a quicker and now rather than later. So I just was reading this story and somebody told me this was going to happen. And I was so excited when I read it. But because Parkinson's, I had a friend in college whose father had Parkinson's, and it was just sad for the family. And I can remember having conversations with him, and I talked to him just like anybody else, but he had to really strain to pay attention to what he was saying, because sometimes he was in the throes of a really bad part of the Parkinson's and you couldn't make out what he was saying. So it's all about the symptoms and the progression of Parkinson's. And the Michael J. Fox Foundation partnered up with Intel. They've been working on this for a while, and they just announced that they have a project to track Parkinson's patients 24/7. They're going to use a device that patients are going to, that they'll have, like a wristband monitor, where they can be tracked over the course of the day. So when their medication kicks in and wears off, and the food hits their system, the environments change, and then they sleep, and all the other things that happen in their day, all of that information will be gathered to make sense of it and to try to figure out ways to fight the disease better. And I didn't realize this, but I mean, I knew it was, of course, it wasn't a low number, but when you think of a disease that hits about 60,000 Americans a year, you get that, the tremors, you have the conversation, you have the physical kind of awkward movement. And we saw Michael J. Fox just did a hit television series. In fact, he's still in the series. It's called The Good Wife. And his part is great, what he plays, and he's going through the disease as he's playing this part. You can see it. And wouldn't it be great if they could get more answers that way, if they could really track it, and this is what's going to happen now, so it's great. They're doing a trial. It's coming up in a couple of months, or they actually started a trial in the spring, and they're going to do more of these, and they're coming up with the metrics, and they're being able to track this and analyze it, and in a much quicker way, try to get to this disease faster. So, bravo. I think that is the daily salute. So keep pushing, pushing, pushing for answers. Yeah. Because it's tough. I mean, it is. Suddenly, somebody's okay, and then they're disabled. It's like a very crippling thing. And then 15 minutes later, they're different. The symptoms are kind of all over the map. As it's been described to me, it's a rolling kind of thing. And I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. how my friend's father would be pretty good. You know, he knew he had something, something was wrong, but then the speech would be, he wouldn't barely be able to talk, and you were trying to understand him, and then he would be better. So I hope that this is one of the many tools that will be used in an effective way to, you know, try to do whatever they can for those people, because that's tough to get diagnosed with Parkinson's in a different way. And I know they're two very different diseases, but I think of so many people battling not just Parkinson's but Alzheimer's. You know, Alzheimer's is the mind thing. Parkinson's to me is so much of the body thing. And it's tough. It's tough on families and anything that can be tweaked with medication or any kind of discoveries because of the metrics they'll get, I think will be a tremendous help in figuring out, okay, boom, where do we go next with this thing? What's happening next? What can we do? How can we really, really, you know, attack this? All right, this is a wild story. It's a wild story, and I just got a link to it right before we hopped here on the Airways of America tonight. There was even a, if you remember, I can't remember what the movie was called, but there was a movie that, in the movie, a girl, and I want to say her friend or somebody else, they were trapped inside a big box store for a day, for a night. Well, now, apparently, in Corsicana, Texas, there was a runaway who was hiding out in a Walmart. He was a 14-year-old boy, and he was hiding in the baby section behind boxes of strollers, and they think that he was there for 2 days. He roamed around the store unnoticed. When he was tired, he laid down and slept while shoppers didn't know that he was back there. And, of course, the police were looking for him all over the place. He was supposedly visiting his aunt about an hour's drive south of Dallas, which is, of course, Corsicana. And they got a call, finally, from somebody at Walmart that they had spotted him on, you know, at his hiding spot where he must have just completely conked out. And apparently, they're not going to press any charges, thank goodness. The store isn't going to press any charges against him. But they were worried about making sure that he was safe. And he had a makeshift bed between stacks of boxes. And he changed clothes a couple of different times. He had supplies. He had, I guess he had even taken a fish from the pet department. So he had set up a little mini room for himself. And the kid's mother said that he had run away a couple of different times, and most of the time he went to abandoned houses or other businesses or whatnot. So obviously there's something sad going on with him, but interesting that he's there in Walmart, and this is radio, but you see the pictures and you're like, wow, nobody's noticing that? Does anyone go to the baby section and they'd think, what's all this rumpled stuff here? Or he must have just hit it so, so well that he was able to kind of get away with it and nobody realized that he was there. And I know there was a movie. I just can't think of it off the top of my head. It'll come to me. And in the movie, this was part of the thing of the movie where a kid, I think there was two of them, they were hiding out and had no place to go. And they made the box store their home, in other words. And sometimes the movies mirror real life. Coming up next, dumb things I shouldn't have done.
Hey, folks. folks. This is Larry Crist for BabyBoomerBackupPlan.com. I'm sure you know this economy sucks. We all realize that the American economy is tremendously unstable right now and will likely get much worse. There's monumental debt, government bailouts, stock and real estate bubbles that are primed to pop at any moment, which can flush away most or all of your retirement savings. This type of movement has enormous consequences. Virtually zero sectors of the economy are hiring, and workforce participation is at record lows. Financial trouble is right here at our doorstep. But if you move right now and develop a backup plan immediately, this could be the most profitable time of your life. Proportionately, more millionaires were created during the Great Depression than at any time in our history. Get my free report at BabyBoomerBackupPlan.com or call 888-507-8789 for my free report. 888-507-8789 and prepare to profit as history repeats itself.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
It's the heart of summer across America. Thoughts turn to childhood and long days of fun. Everybody would love to feel like a kid again. And HB Extract can be a vital tool in your battle to stay vibrant and young, as it supports healthy blood pressure and circulation while balancing cholesterol. GCN and longtime sponsor HB Extract want to help keep your heart healthy with the 30 bottles, 30 days summer giveaway. Enter to win by visiting GCNlive.com between now and August 29th and click on the contest banner in the top left corner of the page. HB Extract has helped tens of thousands of people worldwide feel good again, and they've done it with HB Extract's exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. Here's to you enjoying many more long, warm, and fun-filled summers, free of pain and sickness. Visit GCNlive.com and enter to win in the 30-bottle, 30-day summer giveaway with HB Extract. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Sign up now at GCNlive.com.
Your attorneys to treat my case. No arrest to send me into outer space. At my fingers, I'll be true. But diamonds and gold, but that ain't gonna help me now. I'm in trouble. Yeah, trouble now. I'm trouble now.
We're hitting that final rung on the ladder for this hour of America Tonight, anyway, with me, Kate Delaney. Coming up, dumb things I shouldn't have done. But before we go there, let's go to Dan, who's listening to us in Texas. Hello, Dan.
Hello, baby.
Hello.
Are you there?
I am here.
Okay, here we go. This frog went into a Bank of America, and he told the greeter that he'd like to get a loan. She says, well, you'll have to go to our loan department. So he went over and he was talking to the loan arranger, Mrs. Patricia Whack. And so he told her he wanted to get a loan. And she said, well, we do make loans, but we usually require security. Have you got any security? He says, oh, yeah. So he whipped open this bag and he put it on the desk. And she goes, oh, wow. Well, I've never seen anything like that. I'm going to have to check with my boss. So she took the bag in there and she put it down. She said, there's a frog out there and he wants a loan and he says he has security and this is it. And she pulled it out of the bag and set it on his desk. He said, oh, he said, yeah, that's great. She says, do you know what that is? He says, well, of course, that's a knickknack, paddywhack, give the frog a loan.
Ba-dum-bump, that's good. I like that.
And about dumb things that I have done, the worst thing I ever did was when I was a kid, I caught a bullfrog and I tied it to my bed, and then we left and I forgot to untie him. And I thought about it later on and I didn't dare tell my dad. But the next week when we went back to our home in San Jacinto, he noticed the frog smell immediately when he went into the house. And again, I got my butt beat because my sister said, Danny did it.
That's a good one. I like that. I don't think anyone can top that in this version of Dumb Things I Shouldn't Have Done. Thanks, Dan. A bullfrog. And he thinks that his dad's not going to notice. See, there he had a say. But I guarantee you, I would never do that. But if I were in his shoes and I did do that, I don't think I would admit to it either. All right, perfect timing for Dumb Things I Shouldn't Have Done.
Dumb, 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 dumb.
Hey, I didn't mean to cook your dog.
Dum, 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 dum.
I'm dumb.
All right, very nice. Here's Mac. Mac writes me and says, Kate, wow, Dumb Things I Shouldn't Have Done. Where do I start? Nobody said this, that I love listening to this segment. I don't think I've heard anyone say this, but I think there are some men that could probably, and maybe women too, but I think mostly men that could probably verify that this has happened to them. You know, it's kind of that late night thing. You get up and you go to the fridge, grab the carton of milk to take the big old swig, but you don't care about dates. You're thinking it's fine. I can't tell you. That was kind of a dumb thing, though. Maybe you need to look closer at the milk, because just last week I got up, found myself a chocolate cupcake, grabbed it, started to eat it, and realized I need a swig of milk. Went in, reached in, grabbed it, boom, went for the big old gulp, and it was so sour, I spit that milk in 10 different directions. What a nightmare. I was exhausted, had my face full of a cupcake, and no good milk to be had, plus I had to clean it up to hide the evidence. Mac, I think that is a good dumb thing, and perhaps there are other people that can relate to it. Here's one from Doug who says, Kate, it is at the height of the summer right now. I am in charge of cleaning the pool in my household. Luckily for us, it's nice. We have a built-in pool. It came with the house. It has been a pain in my butt, if you know what I mean. But I finally have things right, the chlorine levels, blah, blah, blah. However, water is evaporating. You have to put the hose in it, and you have to fill some of that water back up. I put the hose in it, took my boys out for the afternoon, and forgot to turn off the hose. We were gone for a very long time because we went to see that Galaxy movie that you were talking about the other week. It was a great movie. When we came back, there was lots of water, and most of it wasn't in the pool. I created what you would call a mini flood. That's a pretty dumb thing. I like it. Mac and Doug both came up with new, unique things. And it's not unique to put the hose in the pool, but turn it on and forget that you've done it. I bet people do that with other things, too, when they're filling things up. So, yeah, that's not good, though. I wonder if the neighbor saw it. And I don't know where he was writing us from, but depending on where you're writing from, that could be such a no-no in the neighborhood. Okay, this one is from Todd, and Todd writes in, and he says, oh, Kate, dumb things I shouldn't have done. This was more when I was a teenager, but it made me laugh, and it made me think about it when I heard some of the other dumb things people were saying. You know, teens will be teens, and yes, we had some beer with us when we went to the movies. Of course, the movies had a slanted aisle. And thinking that it was okay to put the beer bottle down, we weren't crazy inebriated. We all were scared to death and had two beers to split between five of us. But put the bottle down, it rolled. It rolled and smashed at the bottom in the end. I don't know why we didn't realize about the slanted aisle, but it got us in a heap of trouble. I'm from a small town. They escorted us out, called my father, and it wasn't good. I had to explain that this wasn't the normal thing that we did. I know what you're talking about, the slant. So the floor sometimes is, a lot of times the steps are on a slant, or the movie theaters where the seats, because the seats are higher or lower like that, so you can see over them, probably most theaters have that. So if you put something down and it wasn't squarely put down on the floor, of course it would roll in a beer bottle. If you were way up, that would happen, and I could see how that would smash. That kind of gives away what you were trying to do, that's for sure. This one from Charlie. I love all these new people, too. So Dumb Things really draws in people who are listening, but I don't think they've written the show before. And Charlie says, Kate, I've got a great dumb things for you. I went on a date with a woman who's now my future wife, which I cannot believe, by the way, that I was able to get her to marry me. But that's a different story. For the dumb thing, we were just kids graduating from high school, and she was big into riding horses. Me, not so much. I'm the kind of guy I like to hit a couple of golf balls. I like to hang out with my buddies, and we did all kinds of things, but it did not include riding horses. In fact, we live in sort of an urban area, but she was into it. She was from the country. She liked horses, had a horse, which she saved up forever to get, and I think I kind of told a white lie and said that I knew how to ride horses. So, we were going to go out on a trail together, and I can't tell you how worried I was, although my friends were telling me, well, just hang on to the horn and, you know, use your feet in the stirrups and the reins. And they told me a couple of quick little tips. Of course, none of them had ridden a horse. They just thought they knew how to. I went out, and I was like a squealing baby. The horse took off with me till I was scared. She had to chase after me and calm the horse, grab the horse so that I could get off of it. And it was so embarrassing, which to this day is a story that is brought up at least once a year. And I'm a big guy, mind you, so that was really an awkward situation. Yeah, you got to be careful when you say that you know how to do something. It's like, oh, you ski? You snow ski? Oh, I snow ski. Really? You jump, you slalom? You do one ski? Yeah, I do one ski. Well, let's go water skiing. I have a boat. That's where you get into trouble when you start exaggerating what you can do all for the sake of a date. And I guarantee you're not the only one in that boat. I guarantee that that has happened to other people where they, for going out purposes, have said that they can do something when they really can't. And then you get the invite, you go, and you're stuck. And you either cop to the truth, or you get on a horse that takes off with you, and you start to scream for help. Bravo! These are some of the best dumb things that we've had, including Dan. So Dan really kicked us off with that. If you've ever done anything dumb and you want to admit it, please send that to me. We do it once a week, americatonight.net.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.